Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
SRT Crew.
Whoa.
SRT. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to SRT today. H.O. got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron. I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll tie forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT. Behind the glass, that G-Money. They went strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah. What up, what up, what up? It's Sports Roundtable, live from the SRT Studios overlooking Atlantic Station. And welcome to the Penthouse. Once again, episode 83 for the year. And this is your main man, H.O. from Bankhead. Thanks for tuning in for the hottest show on radio. Taking 2 hours out of your day because we are invading the airwaves. Sports Roundtable, you can catch us live on Facebook Live, SRT Sports Talk Radio. Please go to the link. You can check us out in the car. If you're in the car, please go to the dial 1100 AM, or you can check us out on the website srtradio.com. please do one of the three, and we're here. If you want to give us a call, 404-603-8770. Got the crew in the building, of course. Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew. My main man Hancock,
what's up, big homie?
Ain't that shaking?
What's up, crew?
What up? You still doing that penny thing this week?
I'm still celebrating.
Still celebrating.
I see you got a nice shirt on there.
Absolutely. You already know. We're sporting the new Sports Roundtable. Well, finally, the weather broke. And for some people said that it took to 5 o'clock for it to even get hot today.
Wow.
But, you know, I figured I'll sport it.
Yeah.
Along with this.
Looks good.
This watch I got.
Yeah, it's a nice watch.
Sponsored by my cuzzo.
We see who got the money.
Is that a 20 on the floor over there?
Whoa.
Listen to y'all. And of course, that other voice you hear is my main man, the sixth man of the year. Jay Smooth is back in the building. What's up, Smooth?
What's up, fellas?
What up, Smooth?
Glad to be back, man.
You still celebrating Penny too, huh?
Yeah. Of course. Yeah, Penny called me last night. They don't talk strategy and things like that, so we just talked.
I do got a question for you guys. How did Memphis win the other night?
Man.
What's going on, man?
We'll talk about that later, but when you lose to the Memphis Grizzlies, you don't deserve to make the playoffs.
That was bad. I'm like...
Very bad.
And of course, the man behind the glass dropping them beats. A lot of people say they can't wait to see what music you're going to play tonight. My main man, G Money, is in the building.
Yo. Oh, I had a comment about the Memphis thing real quick. Not only did Memphis win, they won a road game, which they hadn't won this calendar year.
They need chasing bank accounts. Somebody got paid.
Yeah.
I'm like, do they know what, if they lose, they could possibly, if you win, you... I'm like,
what? Well, they kind of outed themselves a few nights ago with the loss to Charlotte, the 61-point loss. Yeah. So they had to
redeem themselves.
Right.
Yeah, that was a little too obvious.
Right.
61.
Right.
Man, it's bad.
Yeah. Did nobody win no fruit cuz on that? I'm pretty
sure. Boy. That would have been nice. I wish I'd have known.
Right.
Because I think... somebody else was upset that night also.
Yeah, it was crazy. Crazy night at NBA. And of course, we got some hot news coming up in a few seconds here. Then we got some NBA power rankings. SG Money will lead that segment. And we definitely go talk about some things. We got some other news that we got to talk about. Atlanta Braves starting up tomorrow. IT is having surgery. And I got a question for you guys with IT that I heard. And I just want to toss that around in the roundtable discussion. And of course, second hour of the show, we go just talk March Madness, Final Four, and NBA talk. Shout out to my main man, D. Will. See, he's just checking in. I know you're running up and down the road, making them t-shirts move. But
shout out, Weezy.
Shout out, Weezy, and doing your thing and things of that nature. A lot to talk about in sports. The Final Four is here. Well, not actually here. The McDonald's game is here, but the Final Four is in place, if I should say it that way. Got a lot to talk about with the March Madness Final Four. No one and done's in the Final Four. So we go talk about a lot of that, and also some NBA stuff that we got going on. LeBron said he, well, I'll tell you what he said later on in the show. But right now, G, let's go ahead and crank up the hot news.
Blazing. Hot, hot, hot. Scorching.
On fire.
Red hot.
This is why I'm hot.
It's the Sports Roundtable Hot News.
Sports Roundtable Hot News sponsored by The Big Easy Grill. Going over to our friends at the Big Easy Grill, looking for the best New Orleans seafood in town. 1193 Collier Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30318. The best shrimp in town, and it's verified. Actually, I'm going there Friday. Guy lost a bet to me, and that's the place I chose to have lunch. Jay Smooth, I might try our po' boy Friday.
You should.
I may just come out of my element and try one of them po' boys. You know what I'm saying?
You won't be disappointed.
Would not be disappointed. All right. The first story we got, Hancock, is, let me just say it this way. They say if anybody want to take a year off when they go to the NBA, get drafted by the Philadelphia 76ers. And pretty much,
look, man, trust the process. And that's the way I feel about it. I would, if you could get results the way they're getting them, then a lot of people need to do what they're doing.
A lot of people need to do what they're doing.
This is what I keep telling everybody. You have to lose to get better. And you just keep getting picks. Okay, some of their picks didn't work out, and they're elsewhere.
Right.
But they got two and maybe three the way we saw Fultz come back. And I've been kind of critical of him. I didn't really care for his game in college. But for him to come back and have a decent game last night, didn't shoot it too well. I think 5 out of 13 from the field. But he did have, I think, about, what, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, and
8 assists.
8 assists. So it was a good night to come back.
Come off the bench.
Exactly. So to add another piece with the youth that they have.
All right. So
that's what you want.
So this is the thing. Folks played for the first time. Your thoughts are seemingly optimistic because you trust in the process.
You got to.
But this is the question, though. What does he fit with what they're actually doing for the whole season?
I understand
going
that
into the playoffs.
I understand that. And I don't want to get caught up in fit rather than give me talent.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Because the thing about it is I need talented people to win. So we'll worry about the fit of them later. Right now, we'll see what happens, because he and Simmons basically are point guards. But how many, you need playmakers,
right,
in this game. The thing about playing with Simmons can go inside and out. So you don't have 2 point guards per se. You have Simmons that's basically a combo guard, and folks can score also and make plays.
So
I just think, you know, you don't lose a lot because in defense, because you're saying, okay, normally when you got 2 point guards, somebody's going to get caught on a two that's bigger, right, than they are. Not in this case.
Well, this is the other thought. Now, bear with me a bit.
Go ahead.
If you have Simmons and Fultz in the game at the same time, Simmons is not known as a shooter, so you can actually move Fultz over to the two. But has he shown you enough
that he can't stretch the floor? I understand what
you're saying. I'm just asking.
I see that. And I will, my thing on it, I'll cross that bridge when I get to it. Because right now, from where they came from as a team, to being over 40 wins and in the playoff and have a legitimate chance to go at least 2 rounds deep in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of teams in this league that would take that. I know one local team right here that would take that. You know, and this is the thing I was saying. Maybe people, you know, my man D will say I was ahead of the time, the process, whatever. But I
told you ahead of the process.
I told him what was going to happen. This team is going to be legit. They're going to be good for years to come. The East, think about it. The East is not the dominant conference. And they're already proving themselves as one of the teams that's ascending. Okay? Yeah, LeBron is still superhuman. And he still dictates what goes on in the East. But somebody else has to come up and at least challenge.
Right.
And you look at what Embiid and what Simmons can do, if folks can give them anything and they can just keep adding pieces around them, they could be a quality.
My man Mo Gamba said it's a good piece off the bench.
Might be off the bench right now. Well, right. Who knows? That's what I said they should have done with IT in Cleveland.
Right.
Instead of starting it. But, okay, bring him off the bench. He's a rookie, whatever. He doesn't command anything right now.
I agree.
So if he, I mean, but it's about at the end of the game, winning time. If they're all on the floor winning time, it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah. Okay. We're going to actually get to some IT news a little later in the show. All right, story number two, Smooth, the Final Four is set. No one and done in this Final Four. Your thoughts on that?
In my opinion, I think this is a great thing for college basketball and the NBA, because the thing is, it gives each league further incentive to go ahead and move away from the one-and-done rule. And throughout history, we've seen one-and-dones. They've come in and they bring excitement to the game. They make huge impacts, but rarely do they actually win it all. We've seen a few instances with Duke a few years ago, Okafor.
And Melo won it with Syracuse.
Melo and Anthony Davis. But for the most part, a lot of them fall short. And we saw that on, what was that, Sunday, mm-hmm. with the current Duke team, Marvin Bagley and the few others. So, and I say it's a great thing for a few reasons. It shows that the game can still be exciting. I think, for the most part, throughout the tournament, we've still had pretty good games. I can't say the game has been played at a high level with elite athletes, but from what I've seen, I think we've had pretty good basketball. And the one-and-dones that we expected to be there, DeAndre Ayton, Trae Young, Marvin Bagley, these guys, they're not dominating the game that at least I expect them to. The Final Four, without having any ones and dones, it removes that distraction. I think instead of the focus being just dealt or solely the spotlight solely shown on one player, I think we can now spread that across, you know, the many players, the other stories, the Loyalists, the Kansas, and the guy, what's the kid from Kansas, Newman. Malik Newman,
yeah,
he played well. I think you have a guy at Villanova, Markel Bridges.
Oh, Bridges, yeah.
I mean, there's other pretty good talents that I think that will eventually go on and have a decent NBA career. Maybe not as good as the one at Duns, but I think it's a great thing for college basketball. I think it's a sign that we should go ahead and move away from it.
Okay. Pan, you got any thoughts on it at this point?
I just, like I said, this thing needs star power to be. And, you know, the average fan, they better have two blue bloods in the final if they want ratings, if they really want people to watch.
Right.
Because the Loyola story can only take you so far. You know, Michigan story, nobody knows who plays for Michigan.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing you know about Kansas and
Villanova
is that, well, Villanova has been relevant late, you know, the last few years. They've been a dominant program. And you do know of Jaylen Brown, but, you know, the avid
Bronson.
Jaylen Bronson. The avid basketball fan is going to be excited about it. That just is what it is. But I'm going to be honest, it waned for me a little bit.
Okay.
It did. And I'm a sports nut. You can ask anybody that's known me, that grew up with me or whatever. But when I find myself trying to catch up on my shows, mm-hmm. and not watching some of the basketball, then that tells me a lot about what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Right,
so
right.
I mean, it didn't hold me the way it should have. But it's, you know, I've been saying this for the money, and I get that rap of, well, you just hating college basketball. It's not that I hate college basketball. It's just that I'm from a different time.
Okay.
It's just like people that grew up on, you know, Tupac and
Biggie
and Snoop and whatever. They
NWA.
Listen to the rap now, yeah. and they say, well, you know, it might be selling, but it really don't do a lot for me.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the way I feel about it right now. I'll be energized next year with the Tigers. Let's go, Penny. But, you know, I think right now you have to – you know, you could become a fan of a different team because you could identify with players from a couple of years. You know, you might have watched Louisville back in the day to see Derek Griffin. You knew you had the Doctors of Dunk. You knew back at Five Slammer Jammer, you knew who that was.
Just out of 30 for 30 again.
Right. You knew in Georgetown, you had Ewing a couple of years. You knew Jordan was there at Carolina 2 years. Now it's just, if you don't stay with the program, like, you're a Duke fan.
Right.
So you watch the talent that's going to be coming, and you have a vested interest in it. But I had a vested interest in it because Grant Hill was there a few years.
He was there for you.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
You had Christian Laettner there that I love to hate.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? I had.
You ain't the only one.
That's what I'm saying. But you had stories. You had something to follow. And now it's like, you know, just changing the station. Yeah. Yeah. It's different.
No one knew about Mikal Bridges until the Final Four.
Exactly. So, and but it's just to me, and I understand what you're saying. Uh-huh. It is a way to at least have different, you know, different players or whatever. It might have, there's some stories there with the nun and all that. Don't get me wrong. That's all good. But she can't dunk.
Right.
You know, she's in the wheelchair. She over there.
Sister G says she gave up losing for lip.
Hey, well.
Wow.
It's all good.
But
you
I.
Know, and that's yeah. all I'm saying. It's uh-huh. just, you know, it's just preferences.
And I agree. And I think a lot of it falls back onto college basketball and the media that covers college basketball themselves. Like, instead of pumping the ones and dons, those are the guys that people want to see, but there's a lot of other players that they should talk about more. These are the players that they need, that they should start building sort of brands around. And if college basketball did that more, they wouldn't find themselves in this situation. Like, you have fans like Hancock who just said, forget it, I'm going to go catch up on
the Good Doctor.
Right. The Good Doctor, or you know, something on Netflix or whatever. But I think the media themselves have to do a better job of finding these stories.
But it's hard to find them if they don't come around and nobody really finds out about Loyola Chicago until the tournament.
Yeah, and they 32 win team.
Exactly. So, but before the tournament,
no
you
one.
Know, they got to take. Who is, where is that? Loyola Chicago. Who is that?
So, well, what conference do
what
they
conference
play in?
What conference are they
in? Yeah, you know, I get
it's
it.
Just, it's just not a story there. Mm-hmm. So
D. Will say you need to follow them instead of them following you.
I understand. Well, D. Will, that's your opinion. I ain't got no problem with that. I'm just telling you how I feel.
And the thing about it, to your point, Smooth, and I understand, and we're going to move on to the story number three, is college basketball may need to focus more on the program instead of guy.
It's coming, though. That's coming because the guys are going now.
And you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's
they need to focus
on
more of the program. Like, mm-hmm. don't say we don't have one and done. Say we have a store program in Villanova who's been in the Final Four 3 of the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. Things of that nature. And the reason why we love March Madness is stories like Loyola, because everybody has a shot. Who plays the best at the right time?
Yeah.
You know.
So do you think the one and done era, even though we think that it's going to be over, but I mean, as far as the teams that do the one and done thing, because, you know, Duke went to that. They were a program that was
pretty much,
you know, had
3-4 year
tradition,
players.
Right? Yeah. And they had players that stayed there. Do you think that they go back to a little bit of that, or does he still go out and get these blue chips that end up being?
Well, we're gonna talk about that and more, because obviously, you know, your question last week, do you think one of the guys leave? Well, Jeff Capel takes the Pittsburgh job, and that question I can answer once we get more into it. We're gonna go to question number three. G, your guy LiAngelo Ball enters the draft and goes out to score 72 points the same day. Your honest opinion about him entering the draft. NBA draft.
Okay, first of all, that was the most fraudulent 72 points of all time. They were putting kids out there. I think they were playing a team from China.
It was the Big Ball or Classic or something like
that. Yeah, they were playing a team from China, and was they were putting players from the Chinese team was putting players from their under 17 team in the game.
Mm.
So he was out there playing against children.
Wow.
And now he's going to, like, oh, I can play against grown men now. No. But, okay, he's averaged 15 points, shot 45% from three. And But the thing is that he only played 9 games. It was only 9 games that they played in Lithuania.
Right.
I don't think he gets drafted. I'll be surprised if anybody drafted him. I'm looking at, like, I'm seeing people, like, saying, I will eat one of those, like, spicy chips where it's just one chip in this little box. Like, I will eat one of those if he gets drafted.
Yeah. Wow.
But, and a lot of people are going to be looking at, like, the late first round, if the Lakers take him, or in the late second round, wherever their other pick in the second round is. I don't think it's going to happen. He might, at best, play for the South Bay Lakers.
All right, Han, I know you.
Nah, he's not good enough for the headache of LeVar. You know, the thing about Lonzo is his talent was big enough to say, okay, we'll deal with the headache. But you're not going to take that boy. LiAngelo. He's not that type of player. Now, one good thing is you say he played against 17, 18 years. At least he did do what he was supposed to do and scored a 72. That's what if he'd have scored 14? Then we'd have been looking at him, man, come on. But so, I mean, at least he dominated and dogged the young kids out like he was supposed to do. So we'll see. He has the NBA body, you know, and I think he probably has some game. So we'll see. You know, we haven't seen any of them play a whole game. You know, the other two, we've seen, you know, highlights or whatever, right. But we don't know what they're doing, man. Especially playing Lithuania. This is why I said, to me, he hurt his kid by not letting him stay over here in school. That's just the way I feel about it. And well, I think he's doing the same thing with the younger.
With that, like the other two players in that incident, they didn't play the whole season.
Right.
So he felt like if he's still going to be a one and done, like I got to get him playing again. I'm just saying that's why he
did. That's devil's advocate. I understand that.
But in this game where he scored 72 points, it was back to the Chino Hills offense,
yeah,
to where LiAngelo and LaMelo stand by their own basket and the other teams go down on defense. The rest of their teammates go down on defense. So they were still doing that. Yeah. So that's how he got 72 points against some middle schoolers.
Wow.
Story number four. This is the question I'm going to pose to Hancock and Smooth. Who do you think would not be with their current team, Dez Bryant or Odell Beckham?
In my opinion, the the writing is on the wall, and we have a couple Cowboys fans here. Dez Bryant, he looks like the obvious choice. And that, well, let me get to Odell Beckham first. Okay, we've had everything with Odell Beckham, including the Miami incident from a year or two ago. Then you had the recent video with him and the woman with the brown cigarette, whatever they call it, the white powdery substance. Whatever they want to call it, we've had that incident. And Odell, he's developed this reputation of being sort of volatile or intractable, hard to work with, not easily controlled. And Dez also, that perception also exists about him. But Odell Beckham is a guy that's still productive, even though he didn't play last year. That's probably the most important thing to remember. Even though Odell didn't play last year, he's still an elite talent, in my opinion, one of the no less than the top two or three receiver in the NFL. And they're asking for, well, the Giants say they didn't ask for it, but Adam Schefter, he's about as reliable as anyone. He came out and said that they're asking 2 first-round picks for Odell Beckham, which I don't think they're going to get. And for me, Odell is just too great of a talent to just let walk out of the door.
Right.
Now, on the other hand, his production has dipped considerably over the last few years. He's no longer the guy that he used to be. The number 88, he's brought, in my opinion, shame to the number. Michael Irvin, Drew Pearson, the Cowboys, they picked up Allen Hurns. And another receiver who?
And Deontay Thompson.
Deontay Thompson, who I don't think they're the receivers that Dez Bryant or what Dez could be capable of being. But these days, you don't know because Dez has been that bad as of late. But I think the writings are on the wall, though. I think it's time to move on from Dez. I think he needs a change of scenery and a change of offense. And it's Zeke's team, really, to be honest. They're a run-based team. And Dez, he's probably not as old as he seems, but his game is.
Ooh.
So I think it's time to move on from Dez.
Yeah, I echo everything you said. I think that if anybody leaves the team, between Odell and Dez, it'll be Dez. Odell has too much upside. He is coming off injury, but I don't think it was anything that's going to happen his career. And he's, I mean, he is their offense. Let's just be honest. He has been their offense. And I just don't think you get up off a talent like Odell Beckham, who has to, you have to game plan for every week. I mean, when you look at Dez, his game, his better days might be behind him. He supposedly hired a new trainer or a new wide receiver coach. But why not a few years ago when you were declining? This should have been done. You know, right. When you were considered still top four, top five receiver in the game. And I think after getting these, you know, you're getting Deontay Thompson and you're getting Allen Hurns, these guys look like they can separate and make plays. And if you can make plays with Bortles throwing to you, in Hearn's defense, he must be pretty decent. So, I mean, it can only be anything but an upgrade for him to come in and play. Dez has a meeting scheduled with Jerry Jones, and Jones says at this time. But I got a feeling if Dez doesn't take the pay cut, it probably be he'll be out. So that's the way I see it.
I think with Dez, like it's the injuries, because like 2014, he had a great year. 2015, he had some injuries. Then 2016, Dak Prescott can't get on the same page with Prescott, and because of those injuries, he can't get open anymore.
Can't separate, right?
So he's not the deep threat that he used to be, and so now someone like Hurns has been brought in. I mean, I think at best, Dez Bryant is Anquan Boldin right now. Wow. He has to use his physicality to make plays. He's willing, or maybe he even sees that he might need to make that kind of change in his game. That's the best that he can hope for, I think. And with Odell Beckham, it's a money thing. They don't want to pay him. I told y'all, David Gettleman is cheap.
Yeah.
That's why Cam didn't have any receivers for years. And now they're going to trade the best one they've ever had.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Both of these guys are being looked at by the Rams. That's what I found kind of funny, that they're both, the Rams are looking at both of these receivers and might be trying to swing a deal.
Wow.
So we'll see.
Yeah. All right, man, that's going to end the hot news for today. Shout out to Dez, not Bryant, but my homeboy Dez Robinson. Shout out to Marley, man, and shout out to James Willis, Facebook Live.
Tenants, what's up?
Shout out to Maceo, Red Fox, and all the
Red Fox.
Yeah, all the SRT tenants tuning in and getting some of this SRT flavor. When we come back, we got some NBA rankings, power rankings that we will set light on by my main man G Money. Can't wait to hear it. You're listening to Sports Roundtable and the SRT crew. Only on srtradio.com and the Real 1100. Be right back.
Keep those ears locked to Sports Roundtable on the Real 1100 AM.
What's up? This your man, D-Will the Coach, here on behalf of Real Talk Tees. Real Talk Tees is for the players, geniuses, and bosses. For those who hustle, for the fresh, and for the iconic. Real Talk Tees is urban, affordable, vintage turf to help you express yourself. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com to order yours today. So how about this? You got a specific mood in mind? Custom orders are available also to help you and yours stand out. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com, where what's real lasts forever.
Are you looking for a new, pre-owned, or used car to get you around the city or simply from point A to point B? Look no further. Jay's Used Cars is the place to be. Jay believes your job is your credit, and no matter what your situation is, Jay will get you in a car. Visit Jay's at 3820 Lawrenceville Highway in Tucker and mention Sports Roundtable, get a 10% discount. Go to jaysusedcars.com to check out the inventory. Jay's Used Cars, where they stack them deep and sell them cheap.
Hi, my name is James Forrest. When I get my sports fix, I listen to the Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew in the Real 1100 and srtradio.com.
It's this simple. What teams are playing the best and what player is playing the best? It's the SRT NBA Power Rankings.
All right, welcome back to the Sports Roundtable on the Real 1100 AM. And it's time for the SRT NBA Power Rankings brought to you by Real Talk Tees, where there's a shirt for every mood. Visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com to get yours today. All right, so this is week 5 or 6. I lost count, but it doesn't matter. So here are our rankings for this week. Our number one team for this week is the Houston Rockets. Number two, we have the Toronto Raptors. At number three, we have the Portland Trailblazers. At number four, we have the Boston Celtics. And at number five, we have the Cleveland Cavaliers. Make that Cleveland number four and Boston number five.
Okay.
And then for our MVP race, number one, we have James Harden. Number two, we have LeBron James. And at number three, we have Damian Lillard. And for the first time in a few weeks, James Harden is not the unanimous choice for MVP.
Wow.
We know why. We know who voted LeBron.
So, well, I'm going to go ahead and ask him. Hancock, you had LeBron number one as your MVP in the rankings. What brought LeBron up to number one for you?
Hold on. Make sure D-Will listen.
Yeah. D-Will, I hope you listen. Yeah. I think this thing became a runaway with no, you know, everybody saying, well, it's James Harden and it can't be but anybody else, you know. But when you look at what LeBron is doing, man, he's averaging 3 less points than Harden. He's averaging another assist more, and he's averaging about 3 more rebounds. That's good in numbers, okay?
Right.
But let's look at what LeBron is doing. He's really putting the team on his back every night. And you saw it. The biggest example was last night. When he doesn't score 30 points, they don't win. He scored 18 last night, and they got blown out. Yeah, I mean, he's carrying his team. They're third in the East, and the East is weak. But I can tell you, they're not. There's no other player that can take Cleveland's roster right now and be third in the East, and no other player in the NBA. And that team has been remade 3 times this year. He has a coach that really doesn't know what he's doing. Now, a lot of this is LeBron's fault. Don't get me wrong. It is. But when he gets on the floor, nobody in here questions when he gets on the floor, he's the best player on the floor. Every time out, he's right. The best player on the floor. He has not missed a basketball game this year. Again, you can look at all around the league, all the stars, they miss 9 to double figures basketball games. Without LeBron James, Cleveland wouldn't be a playoff contender. They wouldn't be a conference contender, let alone a playoff contender, I don't think.
Right.
So to me, when Harden is out like he was last night, what did they do?
They won.
They blew him out, right?
Yep.
Because he's got the better team. Now, I'm not knocking what Harden can do, but he ain't LeBron James.
All right. Continue on this Cleveland Cavaliers talk. I'll go to you, Jay. I know last night, the loss to Miami, Kevin Love has a concussion, lost a tooth. I don't know if he broke anything else, but who do you think is the, because of this whole new team, who is the third player that needs to step up? Because LeBron has had 2 other all-star caliber players, at least, in the lineup for the last 7 years.
Mm.
So who do you think is that third guy? Who should it be, or who they need it to be as far as what can make them successful?
Okay. I got to tell you guys a quick story. It relates to my answer. Once I tell it, it all makes sense. So 2004, I'm going to the FedEx Forum, which is where the Memphis Grizzlies play. And the team they played that night was the New Orleans. I guess they were the Hornets. at that time. And they had this young kid, young rookie, by the name of J.R. Smith on the team. He just so happened to light up Memphis that night, just like most teams are doing these days. So, I said all that to say, the answer to your question, G, it should be J.R. Smith. But this is a guy who's, in my opinion, one of the more disappointing players in during his entire tenure throughout the NBA. When he plays or when he decides to play, I mean, this guy's really special. He can light it up. We know he's streaky, but the changes in personnel, the high turnover rate for Cleveland's personnel this year, Hancock just said it, they made the team over two or three times this year. It's affected JR to a point that it shouldn't affect a 14, 15-year veteran, in my opinion. He has the ability, but he's yet to show it. And like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar said, even shelf life has a potential. So, the guy that actually will be their third guy is Jordan Clarkson. He's been the most consistent since the trade. He's averaging around 14 points. But they still need a legitimate 20-point score. He's not that guy, but he's the closest guy to it. Rodney Hood, he'll be back, I think, tonight or tomorrow? He'll be back sometime this week. He could be another guy that could help them out. But if Clarkson or Rodney Hood, if they don't step up and become a legitimate third option for Cleveland, they won't go very far. They might beat Houston, but I don't see them beating the Golden State.
I don't think they get it. It's tough.
Yeah.
I don't know who that third score would be, but Jordan Clarkson, to me, is a sixth man. He's perfect for that role. I don't think they have a third score legit on the team.
Well, I think when Rodney Hood comes back, you know, JR is going to the bench. And from what I understood, Tyronn Lue sent him a text saying, hey, you're going back to the bench from his sick bed or wherever. So JR's had trouble all year. But once Clarkson, if they can move him back to the bench.
Yeah, he's perfect up there in their role.
Right. Uh-huh. And bring Rodney Hood, insert him in the starting lineup. We might see different results. We don't know, but Jordan Clarkson, he's been forced to play a role that he's not used accustomed to.
Yeah, and so, it also includes defense.
Yeah.
They are horrible.
Right, they are.
They're atrocious on defense.
Maceo said JR ain't committed to basketball
right now. I saw
that,
yeah.
And Marty just went out and said, we better not bring up Kevin Durant now. Come on, Marty.
KD a bad boy, man.
Yeah, he is a bad boy. Yeah.
All right, now, Hood did play last night.
He did, okay.
He had 15 points. The starting lineup for Cleveland was actually LeBron, Jeff Green, Kevin Love, Calderon, and George Hill.
Okay.
So Smith, Clarkson, and Hood all came off the bench.
Wow, okay. Okay.
But so consensus, who's the third scorer for Cleveland?
It seems like it's going to be by committee, but is that the best way you want to go there? Because, like I said, LeBron's had at least two people he can trust to throw the ball to for the last 7 years. And now he really only has one, but he's not playing right now. He's at the dentist.
So we asked the third scorer. Who's the third starter for real? I mean, honestly, if you go call out their team, who you legitimately say are starters in the NBA?
I mean, I think they're asking too much because their third scorer, I think it's going to be a different guy every night. They're asking one guy to play above his level or what he could potentially do to be that third guy every night. And you're possibly talking about a second guy because we don't know what's happening with Kevin Love. He might be the most fragile guy in the NBA.
Yeah.
So
one thing about it is with them three coming off the bench, supposedly when LeBron goes out the game, the drop-off starts. So hopefully the bench can sustain
while he's out.
Because normally it was once he goes out, you can rely on Kyrie or Kevin Love.
Well, night before last, it's been a couple of times I watched him and I was waiting on the bench to just fall apart. But I watched him against Brooklyn the other night. And Brooklyn had a 7-point lead when LeBron went to the bench. By the time he came back in, Cleveland was up two. So the bench held up that night.
They held up.
But it doesn't happen all the time. Exactly. they did the same thing against the Bucks.
Right.
A couple of games back. I was waiting on the Bucks to take command, and they didn't. So
I think now it's more of the bench. We can kind of rule out that third score in a sense.
So it's committee, like
you said. It's the committee, and how well can the bench sustain while LeBron is out resting or doing whatever and things of that nature. So I think with that being said, if Clarkson is that guy off the bench, if he can give you 14 and Hood can give you 14, and we didn't even talk about Larry Nance. I'm not sure.
I think he's back too.
I'm not sure if
he last played against Brooklyn. Let's see if he played last night.
I thought I saw him in there last night.
But with having 28 points off the bench with just them two, and you can possibly get another 10, you're close to 40 points off the bench. I mean, yeah. You know, that's very, very rare.
But everything
in the past
saying,
year,
though, it's still LeBron has to break his back. He has to score 35 points for them to win.
Well, that's God's fault for giving them that much talent.
But I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's why I think the team is in trouble. It's just too much to ask.
Yeah, ask Macy or Tristan Thompson if he's still committed to basketball. Because
he's a Kardashian now. Right. He's in that sunken place.
Boy, y'all are so bad.
Larry Nance is back. He did play last night.
Yeah, I thought I saw
him. But is he a scorer? So
he's
supposed to be that defensive anchor, I guess. But you're talking about the players that they got. Three players, two of them have not played any meaningful basketball in their careers, and one just played some last year.
That's right. Keep saying,
yeah.
All right, HO. Last question here. In either conference, with the standings as they are, what is the most intriguing potential playoff matchup to you?
As it stands right now, I would say Portland and San Antonio. I mean, you got to go west. I mean, nothing in the east that really stirs my drink. Portland, I want to see, they're in the third spot, which is kind of unconventional for them. And the Spurs are in an unconventional spot and being in the sixth spot. With LaMarcus Aldridge going out last night, Pops still.
How bad is that?
I'm not sure. I'm sure we'll find out.
He's out. They're not going to make it.
Yeah, exactly. And the way Pops is bullying, you know, Kawhi into trying to play. And I want to see, the interesting part is you're going against Pops, who is known for making it to the finals or therefore after. This is a first round playoff game that he has to play against Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum, who is hungry. And to me, if Portland can surpass the Spurs, the confidence and the energy that would build for next year's team, they have something to build on. The Spurs lose, they got questions, because now what are you going to do with Kawhi? The question is already out there now.
I think going anyway.
But this is going to make it very, very interesting. If you can't get past Portland in the first round, it got to be the most interesting, you know, interesting series, you know, as of right now. And the other one will be OKC and the Pelicans, just to see two hot teams and actually seeing what Carmelo just said, that they guaranteed to go into the postseason and things. You know, that's all well and fine, but Portland and the Spurs got to be the most interesting, intriguing series in the first round as it stands today. We don't know how LaMarcus Aldridge's injury is going to affect. They're in the sixth spot right now. I'm not quite sure how many games that they're out.
They are 2.5
from the eighth spot
from the ninth spot.
Oh, well.
If Aldridge is out any extended period.
He's day to day.
Yeah.
He's questionable. Day-to-day. Yeah, he's questionable for Thursday, for tomorrow against
OKC. I think
what they got?
OKC. It's a loss.
Ooh.
Is that OKC or San Antonio?
Let's see.
Wow.
It's at home for the Spurs.
For the Spurs?
Yeah,
that's good at least.
I don't know. But Portland and the Spurs, two teams that are normally in opposite spots in the standings. Can't wait to see it. Portland will have home court advantage, and we'll see how that goes.
Where's Philly staying in the East?
Philly is fourth right now.
They'll play Washington, I think.
Yeah,
they will play the Pacers.
Pacers.
Cleveland would play Washington. That at least that sounds like an intriguing matchup.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Especially after the Pacers. Said
yeah,
that,
I got you.
After the Wizards said that the Cavs didn't want to face them last year in the playoffs. Yeah. Well, you might get your chance.
Might get your chance. All right, IG, what else you got?
Well, that'll do it for the NBA Power Rankings this week, and we'll see what we got next week.
All right, appreciate it. And some other news. The Braves starts their season tomorrow, 4 o'clock, SunTrust Park, against the Philadelphia Phillies. Ronald Acuña will not be in the lineup, as he will be in Gwinnett. NFL rule change. They have changed the rule, the catch rule, to probably, in my opinion, some. It's to me, it's still confusing. Not quite sure. I mean, just can a catch just be a catch?
Nah. And they opened that can of worms, and it's been bad ever since.
So. The catch rule is changed. They're saying that, you know, regardless of what kind of movement you make, what they call it, a football move.
Right.
I think they took that out.
Well, the receiver must control the ball, establish himself in bounds, and perform a football move such as a third step or a lunge. I think the key part of it now is that a lunge is now a football move. It never was. That's why Dez was considered a complete. That's why Jesse James was considered a complete.
Right. So what about Calvin Johnson, though?
But see, in the Super Bowl, they let that go for a touchdown. I don't care what you say. It still was the same play.
With Calvin Johnson, that would be a catch now because he's already down on the ground. The play is over. He used the ball to get up, and that's why it was called a complete. But
I think they took that out. Didn't they take out have to survive the ground?
Yes. That part's been taken out.
Yeah.
So now more fumbles, possibly.
So long story
if it's a catch. Yeah. In the ground, I don't know. Then they say the ground can't cause a fumble.
Well, you know, you could be out of bounds and the ball come loose and they say incomplete pass. Remember?
Yeah.
So, you know, you had to survive the ground. Even though you came down in bounds with 2 feet, then fell out of bounds with the ball. If the ball moved and hit the ground before you got up, it wasn't a catch, which is stupid.
There is Dean Blandino, the former officiating chief, he thinks that it just swaps out a different debate. Now there'll be the debate of did the player perform a football move? So now that's going to be like what's a football move now instead of what is surviving the ground?
Yeah.
So long story short, we'll still have issues next year.
Yeah, no doubt.
It should be as simple as catch the ball 2 feet in bounds. That's it.
Yeah.
Those should be the only two requirements.
Yeah.
If the ball moves, if it doesn't touch the ground,
right?
Like it's because you hit the ground. That's why the ball moves. Like that is, I always feel like that's something hard to do. To when you catch the ball and then you fall and you gotta like make sure that the ball doesn't like fall out of your hands.
Yeah, football, it's dumb anyway.
And then now they changed the rule. Now they're talking about targeting now.
Yeah, can't drop your head in any way.
So, if you're running back,
you're not supposed to be able to drop your head, from what I understand.
Is this football?
Who knows? More like flag football.
I mean, how do you not? I mean,
that's first instinct is to lower your center of gravity when you feel contact.
Right.
So I don't know how you're gonna do it. I don't understand. I don't know what you're gonna do. Because when every running back from the age of Pee Wee football is taught, when you go through the hole, you
tuck
and go through the hole.
Right.
You get small. You don't run straight up in there.
Then they talk about possibly.
No man wins.
Yeah. Then possibly talking about ejecting people from the game if you lead with your head. I mean, that. They saying they go change the rule, but they don't know how yet. They still in cahoots with this. So the targeting rule is being discussed. Let's just put it that way. The Rams signed Adamica Suh. Do they have the best defensive line in the NFL? Or do the Philadelphia Eagles have the best defensive line?
On paper, I think they do.
On paper.
Yeah. Aaron Donald, if he continues to be what he is, and my problem with Sue is that he picks and chooses his times to show up.
Right.
You don't know what Sue you're gonna get any given Sunday. I'm not sure what they did with their defensive ends, but up the middle, they look great. I mean, they should be hard to run against, and you know, they can play man now with Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So on paper, they look good.
Look, is Wade Phillips still the defensive coordinator?
He is still their defensive coordinator.
That's all you need to know, because he's gonna find that person to attack on the offense. And if you have to single either one of those guys, you're going to be in trouble. If you have to single Donald or if you have to single Sue, somebody's going to get to your quarterback.
Yeah.
So, and I just don't see anything wrong with trying. You got Sue at $14 million, but it's a 1-year deal. If it doesn't work out, he's gone.
Right.
So it is what it is. I thought it was a great move.
Lonzo Ball averaging 10-7-7. Do we have a grade for his rookie year?
With so much expectation, man, I think you have to give him at least a C, because those are good numbers for a rookie. The problem is that the hype and the target that his father put on him and what you expect. You know, my grading, if I'm giving him a C, you know I'm kind of giving a curve. Because when you take a guy top two, top three, top one in the draft, to me, they don't just have to be a good player or an above average. To me, they need to be great. I'm trading out of. That's just me if I was a GM.
Right.
I want a player that I know is going to change my franchise. And at this point, I'm not sure Lonzo is that. I think when you spend a pick that high, you need to get something for it.
Smooth, you agree?
I agree. That was the grading is about right that Hancock gave him. And going in, we knew he was offensively challenged. We knew the shot was horrible. We knew if you just slapped his hand, there's a good chance you could block it. We knew he had some challenges on the offensive end, and I didn't expect much there personally, but the assist numbers, what he's doing rebounding, I think those are skills that are going to keep him around the league a long time. And his game, offensively, he will develop over the years, and I think you also have to consider that Kyle Kuzma, Julius Randle, some of the guys that the Lakers have, they have played better than we expected as a whole. And Lonzo, he has missed some games, but to do what he's done despite the pressure and the theatrics from his dad, who's completely over the top, I think he's done well.
Yeah. It's just been so much of a swing. He had a month where he shot the ball extremely well, but for the most part, the shot has been horrible. Then he missed time. So I think it's just been so disjointed the whole year. It's hard to give anything to me other than like a C.
Like a C.
To me.
G, you have any thoughts on that?
As far as a grade for Lonzo Ball, he's in the C plus range. I think the hype, he didn't like live up to the hype, but I think it was, you know, people were expecting him to average a triple double or something. But I think the way he plays has helped Kuzma. And I think he's going to help. He's helped Randall make a lot of money, whether he's a Laker or not next year. And I think it's just a matter of him getting used to the NBA game. Like we talked about in the hot news, that Chino Hills offense, he played in that Chino Hills offense where he's on one end of the floor. His teammates go down to the other end to play defense. So it's him getting used to the NBA game.
Right.
And I think over time, we can't expect him to be like a finished product when he's 19, 20 years old. So this is a good starting point. I mean, I think he's going to get better.
Right.
But the hype makes it seem like people wanted to label him a bust after one game. Like don't we give rookies like a year and a half to get to see what they actually are? So we'll see by the All-Star break next year if he's anything.
Yeah, I think it's the expectation, of course. When you keep mouthing off and my son go play for the Lakers. I think those are the expectations that was put on him.
Big target.
And it's a big target. And something that, you know, we talked about the NBA players going at him, but we never really talked about the secondary piece of that part was how much of an expectation that we're going to look at to give him a grade. Decent numbers. Obviously, you can say, well, yeah, they could have just took Donovan Mitchell. I mean, but he didn't have expectations. So how does that fare? You know what I'm saying? Was the Lakers the best fit for him? It's kind of hard. It's a lot of different details that can kind of go into the grading of this. But I'm with G. It's a decent start.
Yeah. It's Magic put a lot of hype on him.
Yeah.
And that
I expect
you to get your name up there and do all this. So
yeah.
It's kind of tough.
Here at Phyllis Arena, they're actually playing right now the McDonald's All-American game. It's here in Atlanta where the top 30 players in the country, supposedly, are down there vying for accolades and fame and trying to put their name in the hat, the showcase, more or less. But over the last 20 years, from 93 to 2012, only 42% of McDonald's All-Americans have played fewer than 25 career NBA games.
Wow.
Say that one more time then.
In the 20-year stretch from 1993 to 2012, 42% of all McDonald's American has played less than 25 career NBA games.
Wow.
Yeah, it just shows you how hard it is to get to that level, to the professional level, the NBA. It's where the, in my opinion, the greatest athletes in the world play.
When did they stop the one and done?
When they started, 2005 was the last year.
They stopped it.
That was the last year of the high school players going to the draft.
I mean, 2000. That's what I mean. Straight out of high school. 2005
was the last year.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So, and then it said that only 39 out of 469 players, 8%, 8.3, made more than one NBA All-Star game.
Wow. So, in other words, the McDonald's game is pretty overrated.
That's right. Well, Hancock's been saying this for the longest when they talk about all these AAU and this and all that.
Right.
Look, man, a lot of them playing against kids, little babies. And if you got more talent and you athletic, you're going to kill that kid that's not reached puberty yet.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I keep saying. Yeah, you're going to have a couple of players in there that might be pretty good. Well, you know, you have your LeBron Jameses. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, how many washouts do you have? Because they playing against nobodies. And then when it's time to come and play, they're playing against men.
Yeah. And I guess if these, my question is, would be if these are the supposedly anointed best prospects in America, why aren't these guys having success on the next levels? Is it the training, the AAU circuit? Like, some system has to be put in place where you develop these guys and you put them in a position for success, because they're obviously they're not being put in great positions.
If you not taught how to drive a car, somebody just give you the keys, you're going to kill somebody.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. These kids don't know how to play basketball most times. And I'm a big advocate of being able to go out of high school, so that's still going to contribute more to the problem.
Right.
But it is what it is. I mean, the guys don't really learn the NBA game. Even if you stayed in school 3 years, you don't know the NBA game. You're not ready for it because it's a different game. They call traveling sometimes. They get superstar calls. You're not going to benefit in that league. Yeah. I don't care if you come in as a baby or as a 23-year-old. It doesn't matter. We see it all the time. So
and this would be an adjustment. It would be a larger conversation, but like the G League has the rule, you can come to the G League right out of high school. If players want to make a little bit of money And then you get to play an NBA game. Yeah, it's against lesser competition, but these are guys who you're playing against, players who are trying to make it there, right, to at least understand the NBA game. Why won't players take that route? Is it like too humbling? Is it embarrassing?
Yeah.
Like, what? I wonder what the issue is with that, to where why not more players take that route if they want to make some money?
Can
right
you
out
get
of
drafted
school?
From the G League?
But yes,
that's your point, right?
Yes,
there.
You can.
You're in the G League for a reason, because there's no spot for you in the NBA. Let's just be real about it. The reason that you're in the G League, because there's no room for you in the NBA. And what they did to try to make these veterans have at least another year was do this one and done, where these guys that would have been taking up roster spots coming right out of high school, no, you got to go to college for a year. That gives this guy in the NBA another year to ride the bench and make some money. That's why the players union and all that was in for this.
Right.
Now, my plan that I feel should be a little bit akin to what baseball does. Allow that kid to be drafted out of high school. If he doesn't like his draft position and he wants to go to college, he still got drafted, okay, but he can turn it down. But he can't go to college. He can't leave college for another 2 years until those rights are gone. And even if he does decide to come out, he still belongs to that team that drafted him, okay, that year. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
But you protect that team that drafted him by them not losing a player.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think that way you give the kid a chance. If he wants to come out of high school and play, and he feels like they could draft him, and he can go. But if he goes and says, well, I'm still not ready, even though you drafted me or whatever, I don't like this situation, I'm going to go to school. He can do that. But he got to stay 2 years.
But I think at a time, there's a cutoff here where if you choose to go back to school, it may be later on, because what, the draft is in
June.
Yeah.
They have until 10 days before the draft to withdraw. But I don't know if it's in how it lines up with the NCAA, as far as if you declare for the draft, you have by this date to come back. And I think it's like a few weeks before the draft, to where they have to decide if they're going to come back.
Well, I mean, not just that. It's like, do I have enough scholarship? That's the part I'm getting to. Like, I don't know if you go choose.
You gonna hold,
am I going to hold it?
I feel you.
You see what I'm saying?
I understand that.
And that's the crowds that you're going to be up against, you know, saying that, okay, I don't know if I can hold this scholarship.
But you're giving that kid a chance to go make the money if he wants to.
Yeah, I agree.
You see what I'm saying? What I'm saying is, you have your opportunity to go. I'm not stopping you from going to the NBA anymore. If you want to go, you can go. But if someone drafts you,
right?
You can say, nah.
But in baseball, it's 3 years, though, right?
Maybe. I have to look it up.
It's 3 years, yeah.
But I'm saying, too, just to give that NBA team the rights to that player for 2 years.
Right, I got you. All right. Well, that's going to do it for other news. Make sure you go check the Braves out tomorrow, as Julio Teheran will be taking the mound. And when we get back from the first hour, we're going into our second hour of the show, we will be talking March Madness, coaching changes, and NBA talk. You listen to Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew on The Real 1100.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on The Real 1100 AM.
You are tuned into WWE Peakville, AM 1100.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
Basketball season is already underway, and even though you're playing, you want to take your game to the next level. That's where the Bow Bell Basketball Academy comes in. For boys and girls ages 6 and up, Atlanta's own Bow Bell has played and coached basketball all around the world and is here to share his philosophies to help any player maximize their potential. Visit CoachBowBell.com for details about upcoming camps or call 770-912-4104 for more information. Bow Bell Basketball Academy. Maximize your true potential.
What's up? My name is Marquise Kiki Hicks, assistant men's basketball coach at Point University. When I get my sports fix, I listen to Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew on AM 1100 and srtradio.com.
Uh-oh, Breezy.
Yeah.
Looks like they're back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
SRT,
they got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame, if you ain't, tune to SRT today. H.O. got that payload when he say so, what you betting on? Don't get mad at me on fantasy, break up Kyrie LeBron. I be smooth as sports superhero, Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll top forever, real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT, behind the glass, that G-Money. They went strong, I never lose, six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? We're back. Sports Roundtable. About to jump into the 8 o'clock hour. Thanks for tuning in, all our Facebook tenants. Thanks for tuning in. See, Hollywood just checked in. Hollywood doing this thing.
Doing this thing.
Yeah, man. Thanks for tuning in to another great show. 404-603-8770 is the number to call. You want to call in and make a statement. The first hour went over some hot notes. Talked about Markel Fultz. Talked about one of the ball boys. Scoring 72 points, as G-Money said, on some Miller Schoolers. Dez Bryant could be on his way out with the signing of Deontay Thompson
and Allen Hurns.
Man, the power rankings were awesome. Hancock had LeBron as his top MVP. If you want to listen to more of how he explained that, please go to the website srtradio.com and check out the podcast, and he'll break it down for you. LeBron is carrying the Cavs right now. And as we speak, the McDonald's All-American game is at Phillies Arena. The guys are going at it. Some staggering numbers that I just read off for all those kids that are McDonald's All-Americans.
Big boy doesn't that, right?
Yeah. He won a dunk contest.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. My other dude got one three-point contest. That wasn't on the script, though.
Yeah, I saw. I saw. So, are they going to make room for those two guys? Is everybody leaving?
Yeah, everybody leaving. I don't know about... I don't know about Trent.
Bagley?
Yeah.
Bagley's gone?
I don't know about Trent yet, but...
What about the big boy in the middle?
Yeah,
he's out.
Duval
is
leaving.
Grayson leave?
Got to.
Yeah.
He's out of eligibility.
Yeah. You sure?
He is a senior.
Yeah.
Even though it seems like he was there for like 12 years.
Yeah, exactly. He graduated. Yeah, he graduated in
with Leighton. With Leighton, right?
No, it was with Johnny Dawkins.
Johnny Dawkins. What up?
Duval needs to stay another year, though.
I think. He's a ball boy for Gene Banks, right?
And Mike Jaminski. Duval, Ash, they ain't got room for him.
He got to go.
Got to go. Got room for him. So, that's what that is.
Would he transfer to a different school?
Well, who transfer?
Would he go if he didn't feel like he was ready to go?
They're taken back, but it's gonna cause a problem.
I know it's gonna cause a problem.
You know, so he's gonna be a better pro than he college. It's too congested in the college game. He's an open court player. So
there was the wrong man for that ball to rotate to for that three, boy.
Yeah.
When Bagley kicked it out to him in the corner.
Yep.
It was just wrong man.
Wrong man.
But they ran that double at Bagley, got the ball out of his hands. But, you know.
Yeah. It is what it is. All right, G, let's go ahead and jump into this roundtable discussion, man, so we can get some of this March madness.
The roundtable discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
Roundtable discussion sponsored by Bobel Basketball. If you're looking for basketball improvement, please go to BobelBasketball.com. The man has over 25 years of experience. Getting that feet work is the key to Bobel Basketball. Please go to BobelBasketball.com. March Madness is here. And let's just throw it out. Loyola, Michigan, Kansas, Villanova. And we talked about the one and done's earlier in the show, but let's throw this around. Would you take talent over experience?
I would take talent if it's upper echelon talent. Like when we talked about before, the Kentucky team of John Wall, Anthony Davis, even though they didn't win a title, Boogie Cousins, I'd take them 8 out of 10 times over experience. Because I think eventually they would get it right more times than not.
Jay, talent or experience?
In this situation with the tournament set up the way it is, I would take the experience, because the thing is, you have to be a quick study. You need guys who've been around the circle, for lack of a better term. Guys who've been there before, who can actually break down film or a number of games of film within, you know, maybe a day or so, probably less than 24 hours. So I think the experience helps that way. And you have guys who've seen certain situations a bit more, even though, you know, the talent does help. I don't disagree with having the talent, but I would say the experience helps, because you can have on-court coaches, so to speak, guys who've been there, they've seen this situation, that situation, and they can draw on that experience in the end. And I think that's why you see teams like Loyola and Villanova, who won the championship a couple years ago, and even Kansas, the guys with the point guard, Brandon Graham.
Devontae
Graham. So I think experience does help in that way.
It does.
All right, G, your thoughts, talent or experience?
I would hand guy if it's the upper echelon talent. You know, you brought up Kentucky. You look at their 2015 team, who didn't win. They didn't win the national championship, but they went 38-1.
Right.
And they had Alex Porteous, who is probably a McDonald's All-American.
Yep.
Tyler Ulis, who's in the NBA. Dakari Johnson's in the NBA. Trey Lyles, Willie Cauley-Stein. One of the Harrison twins. I don't know which one. Devin Booker and Karl Anthony Towns. Yeah. Those are all NBA players.
That's why I mean, I agree with that.
Yeah. Okay, let me phrase this a different way.
Go ahead.
If you was a head coach, how would you recruit?
Oof.
These are the questions that these coaches are facing, because I want to win a title. That's why you're in school. I'm not trying to get everybody to the NBA. My job is to win games and win national championships. So if I'm going to win national championships, how do you recruit? Are you going to recruit a bunch of one and dones and roll the dice? Or are you going to mix in maybe a one and done with a bunch of good 3 to 4 year players?
I'm still going to take the talent, because I think
you're doing one and done.
Yeah, I'm doing the one and done. I can't pass up on that talent. If it's if I see transcendent talent, you know, Loyola Marymount, Loyola Chicago, I'm sorry, that's every 3-4 years, you know, every now and then. You know, you're in a run, like you say, you're adding that one player to a group of players, and that might hit for that every 4 year period, right? When they become cohesive.
Mm-hmm.
But if I got those stars coming in, we see it all the time. Duke and Kentucky make runs in the tournament with turnover rates of whatever. So I'm relevant every year. I'm still going to be there, and I still got a chance of winning it. If I get Duke won it a couple years back and lost, you know,
right,
McDonald's All-Americans or whatever you want to call it. So I think, to me, I want the talent. You know, I'm not knocking the schools that do it that way, if that's what they do. But if I was a head coach, I'd be looking for, you know, the next every year.
I would agree. And Hancock is right, because you have to sort of mitigate the risk. And not bringing in the ones and dons does that. Because he said it. I mean, it's bigger than basketball. You have to keep a fan base happy. You have to keep boosters happy. And having those ones and dons, even if you don't win it, as he said, you have a chance every year. Because Duke, they went to another, what, Elite Eight?
Right.
Championship a couple years ago, and I'm not sure where they finished last year. But that's what you want. You want a chance to win every year. Like, if you're Loyola Chicago, the last time you won it all was in 63.
Back in black and white.
Right. I mean, what does that do for a fan base? If you're a fan of Loyola Chicago, you're pretty agitated. I mean, Sister Jean was probably their most loyal fan. Yeah, and she didn't even expect them to go.
Probably last as far time as they people did. Saw her knee.
Right. So Hancock is right. Like, those ones and dones, they give you a chance to be there, to be competitive, to put your name in that hat every year, and that's what you want.
So basically, Hancock, you saying, give me the millions, and if I blow it, I blow it.
I blow it. Look, give me a chance. That's why Calipari, that's why he's made millionaires. What they do with their money, that's up to them. He gave them a chance. He's getting them looks, getting them to the NBA. And now the same thing with Krzyzewski. He's getting these kids a chance to make money 2 years out of high school.
Because now, this is the
generational thing. Wealth we're talking about.
I agree. And this is the thing that, because to Jay's point, the fan base. I mean, when you build a brand, I mean, it's unfair to even talk about Duke, because Krzyzewski ain't going nowhere. He's not going to get fired.
Right.
So that's out of the war. He ain't going to get fired. The brand is in place, right? The thing about it is, he's done it so many different ways. He won a championship in 2010 with no first round picks.
Right.
Wow.
None. But then turned around and win in 15 with 3.
Right.
First round picks.
And what has he done ever since? He's keeping that door going. Because he sees that's the way. He has to.
But let me ask you this. If, and this is just a question now, because I get this all the time. Does the one and done players, are they focusing on the fast track to the NBA, or are they more focused on winning the championship?
I think certain programs, maybe at Duke it might be. Well, I can't say that now. I think these kids now see the instant success and the money that's there for them. Because a lot of them, we see it all the time. Where they go to the Oak Hills and that Mount
Vernon. IMG.
They go to these IMG academies. They're already basically pro athletes. They're living like pro. They're away from home. They're traveling on the road playing games out of state.
Right.
So they're living the life of college and pro basketball at a high school age. It's I just don't think that it's as, you know, these people they don't have that when their alma mater come, they probably even know their school song.
Yeah. Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Nobody know it. You can ask mostly all these kids, they don't know who even went, they don't even know who played there in you know, when those teams were ballyhooed and, you know, all the lineage and the blue blood. Yeah, man, nobody know Walter Davis went to North Carolina.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, nobody knows in field four. They don't know that. It's not a big thing. It's like they walk past a poster. Man, who's the dude with that from? They don't know. Because it doesn't matter. It's about getting muddy out the ghetto.
Bagley went to 3 different high schools and was player of the year in every state.
Right.
I think O.J. Mayo did that as well.
Yeah.
Mr. About in at least 2 states.
Yeah.
They're playing to, especially when you recognize a kid has that kind of potential, that kind of talent, it's all about now, how fast can I get him to the NBA.
To the NBA.
Right. And the worst thing you want to do is keep him in one situation too long, because as we know, the longer people see you and look at you, the more flaws they find.
Yeah.
It rarely is working the other way where you get better. You don't see the Steph Curry thing where he set the NCAA on fire and then came back and did it again in the tournament. That right. doesn't happen anymore. You have to go when that iron is hot. And believe me, if Steph Daddy wasn't an NBA player and they didn't need the money, he probably would have went then.
Yeah.
Because the iron was hot. You have to go, especially.
What's interesting about that is a lot of times the NCAA tournament doesn't matter for the one and dones.
Right.
Kevin Durant lost in the first round.
Right.
Well, to Ben Michael Simmons. Beasley. Something like that.
Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons didn't make the tournament. Markelle Fultz didn't make the tournament. They didn't even go to the NIT.
Right.
So the tournament doesn't even matter as far as where they get drafted or not. Michael Porter played
three games.
Three games.
I felt like it was 5 minutes.
Kyrie Irving.
But he's still,
Kyrie, yeah.
He's still going to be a top five pick. Kyrie Irving, still number one pick. He played 11 games.
11 games, yeah.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter about that anymore. It's about getting to the next level.
Let's talk about these four teams. Loyola obviously is the darling of the tournament. You know, Sister Jean and her, sacrificing losses for Lynn and things of that nature. She gave up. Losing for Lynn is that what they say. Do you know how hard it is, Ankar, you can attest to this because you've coached, how hard it is to get everybody to buy in? To one system.
To one system.
Without your own agenda. These guys have, when I look at them play, I see pure basketball. They play basketball. I look at Michigan play. For whatever reason, John Beilein has his team playing at the highest level every year in the tournament. And we talked about Trey Burke, Tim Hardaway, and Glenn Robinson, that crew that went to the Final Four.
Right.
John Beilein was, obviously the coach then. But then you flip
Horford's
it.
Brother was on that team too, wasn't he?
Yeah. Then you flip it to the other side with the Blue Bloods, Devontae Graham, four-year player. Malik Newman was a McDonald's All-American. Ashley was top five, I think, when he came out.
Was
he? Yeah, he was top five when the Mississippi State sat out a year. Then he's playing this year. And obviously, he's basically a junior playing at Kansas. So that's the experience. Then you got the Vic kid.
From Memphis, too, I think, man.
Yeah.
He is from Memphis.
It's another Kansas Vic player.
Yeah. And the big guy.
Yeah.
Udoka from Nigeria.
Azabuka.
Yeah.
Looks like Coolidge. The white shot.
So you're talking about. They getting good. They getting some one-and-done prospects, but they seeming to stay.
Yeah, but you look at the guys you named, especially Graham. Graham was...
Well, he wasn't a McDonald's.
Exactly. But when you look at him, his game gradually got better. So, he wasn't going to come right out of college that first year.
Yeah.
So it benefited him to stay in that school and stay in college. So, I mean, certain guys, I still don't know if he's going to be a pro. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know. I don't see it.
Right.
I don't think he's as good as a kid Frank Mason.
Yeah.
So, and Mason is, borderline going to stay in the league.
And
so
then we're talking about Jalen. Then we're going to Villanova, Jalen Brunson, Mikael Bridges, the Spellman kid, the big kid, the shoot threes, 14. And you're talking about, let's take away the one and done. The player of the years was Brunson and Devontae Graham, they're not going to be all-stars in the pros.
No.
So that's what you're asking of when you take that away. I think Mikael Bridges actually got a very bright future in the pros.
You think his game's going?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he can play. And the Spellman boy, 14,
decent range,
man. Yeah, he can. You put him in a situation where you got a decent point. You know,
he might slip to somebody who, you know, he's gonna let him go by.
Yeah, exactly. So now we got all these contracts. You know, the styles. They play their styles, but the formula of how they got there is pretty much similar. They got older kids, and they play together.
But didn't Kansas get a lot of them that left early?
What do you mean?
In the past few years, haven't they had a lot of these blue chips that you won and done?
Not really.
Well, but they had Embiid, Wiggins.
Josh Jackson,
Wiggins. Maybe he went away from there because I know he was turning some players through also for me.
Yeah, but I mean, over the last couple of years, I mean, Josh Jackson is the only one. I think he was there.
He was last year.
Yeah.
Because they only have three freshmen right now.
And the freshman that is McDonald's All-American, he got hurt, Billy Preston. He didn't even play. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but either way, your thoughts on the Final Four in those four teams?
Yeah, I think Villanova wins it. When I look at them, I think they had the number one offense in basketball this year. They got five players that really can attack the rim, and they can make plays for others. Jalen Brunson is probably, to me, the top point guard left in the Final Four. He's already been named, I think, Sporting News Player of the Year. So I look at them as being, to me, the favorite to win it all. I think Kansas probably, you know, they have a good shot. Devontae Graham really leads that team. And, you know, we always talked about the other kid, Newman. The way he shot the ball really kind of set them apart and kind of put Duke in a bind because he made shot after shot that he would not miss.
Mm-mm.
So, you know, I think with the ball movement they had and they were – I like the way they don't panic at the end of shot clock.
Experience.
They'll kick the ball and then kick the ball one more time prior to the shot clock running out. And they have confidence in each other to make the shot. So they look good. Michigan, look at them. I think over the past 12 games of the season, they held everybody under 70 points.
Yeah, they play defense.
Defense is their calling card.
Yep.
So, and you talk about Loyola, you already talked about the cohesiveness of that team.
Yeah.
That's really what their thing is. They play as a unit. You know, it's almost like everybody's on the string and they know what to do in situations. So, I think, to me, Michigan and Loyola, I don't think they really have a chance to win it all. I think everything has to fall perfect for them to win. And I think it'll come down to either Villanova and Kansas. And I think Villanova wins, to be honest with you.
All right, Smooth.
One thing before I go, I think they should reseed the Final Four once you get to that level because we have two number one seeds playing each other, Villanova and Kansas. And I don't think that should be the case at all when you have the three playing and 11 on the other side because at the end of the day, I don't think you're going to get the best possible matchup for the
that's
national championship.
That's a good point.
Semifinal.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So with all that said, Michigan, I was never a believer. If they can play outside of themselves like they did against Texas A&M, I mean, they look like Golden State in that game. If three after three can continue to fall, they probably have a chance. But Loyola, they're, as we all said, they're too disciplined. They don't make mistakes. They don't beat themselves. They don't score a lot of points. But they played well enough to, obviously, to get to where they are now. Villanova and Kansas, they both have probably the most talent left out of all four teams. Those teams carry probably the most NBA-bound prospects. So I'm expecting that matchup to be the most intriguing. Like I said, I wish they would have reseeded. The Final Four is something they probably should look at in the future. And that's the only matchup I'm looking forward to be honest. So.
Jay, you got any thoughts?
I guess I'm more intrigued by the it's the better matchup, Kansas and Villanova. But with Loyola and Michigan, they're more even than people want to give credit for.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to come down to who makes the most threes. They both hit some clutch shots and threes during the tournament.
Right.
Loyola shot 40% for the season. Michigan is about 37%. So it's going to come down to whoever can make those kind of shots. I think that's going to be key. And you're going to hear stuff about like the depth of perception, because I'm pretty sure they're playing on that raised court, which right. I think is stupid. But whoever can like make jump shots is going to win that game.
Yeah. And Loyola got their defense is better than most people think right. as well.
And they don't
foul. They play on the string. Yeah.
They've only fouled an average of 10 fouls per game, giving up 10 free throws a game.
Wow.
And with Michigan, they are a terrible free throw shooting team.
Yeah,
so
they are.
They could give a few fouls if they need to.
Coaching changes. We had Danny Hurley going to UConn. Well, obviously, we talked about Penny going to Memphis. Chris Mack leads his alma mater.
Louisville.
And goes to Louisville. And then Jeff Capel goes to Pittsburgh. Han, in your opinion, the best hire?
Well, you know, I'm a little biased with Penny. We've already talked about
that.
Outside of that, because I think Penny's good for that area and that school. I think the Hurley hire with UConn is great. I think they need somebody to come in there and kind of get that program back in line. Mm-hmm. They did win a championship under, Kevin Ollie. But I think that was with the other coaches' players. And it was just kind of residual effect of coming in at a good time.
Should have taken the NBA job.
Yeah. The thing about UConn is they've had some little sketchy past. And I think Hurley will come in and be more, you know, get them. And he did a good job at Seton Hall at one time. And then at Rhode Island. Right. So I think he just has that bloodline. His dad, he's been around the coaching in the gym all his life. His brother, Bobby's a coach. So I think he's going to turn that program. It is, women's basketball is the thing at UConn.
Right.
But I think that can kind of help in a way, because it's still a basketball hotbed. Scores is what it is. They've had some national championships there.
Yeah.
And it's not like they don't have a tradition. So I think if he can just get that New Jersey, Connecticut-like area back under control and bring in those players. New Jersey got some hoopers.
Oh, yeah.
So if he can get those guys and kind of keep that home base, get a couple of national prospects, I think UConn could be something to reckon with soon.
All right, Smooth.
You didn't mention him. Well, you mentioned him earlier in the show, but I'm interested to see what Jeff Capel does at Pittsburgh, because this is his second shot, Oklahoma.
Got a 7-year deal.
Yeah, so I'm really interested to see what he does.
He's going
to
go as soon as he leaves.
Because Blake Griffin was there when he was in Oklahoma, right? Okay, so.
And along with that, just to piggyback, Trey Young was the ball boy for Oklahoma during the time Capel was there.
Interesting. But yeah, it's all dependent. And, you know, if he can somehow manage to land a few one-and-dones or elite talent, rather, it'll be interesting. But I think the most intriguing coaching change would probably wherever Posner Moser goes, the coach of Loyola, Chicago, wherever he ends up, if he can do what he's done with that crew, just imagine what he could possibly do with them.
You think he'll leave?
He should, if he's smart. I mean, I know, you know.
I think you got to go with why the iron is hot. But the thing is, if you go somewhere, what do?
So the team going to put that.
Yeah, you got to take some G with him. But the thing about it is, you know, this is like, it's not like he has that turnover rate. These kids are upper class.
Yeah.
So he has to go somewhere and what? They're going to wait 4 years? This is a microwave society in those big programs.
I agree.
If he goes somewhere where they want to win, he won't be allowed to be there 4 or 5 years.
Well, he can go to a mid-major. A slightly better mid-major.
Southern Illinois?
Possibly. Carbondale. I like Carbondale. Been there several times. But who knows?
What is that really a step up? I mean, if you want to leave... If his name is hot, he got to go to a big school. I mean, it makes no sense to
Xavier's open.
I mean, well, that's a step up, I guess, because they got a national name in basketball. They got a footprint. But I just don't know. I mean, how good is he? You know what I mean? I mean, this has been a process to get these kids
to buy in.
To buy in and get it together. Does he go somewhere? How does he recruit? Because when you look at his team, There's no big time players on that squad. Mm-hmm.
But I think you just said it. I think college basketball has to get back to it. They have to set expectations up front. Because if you're one and done and you don't make it to the NBA after that first year, oh, you're a bust. You suck. You need to do whatever. But I think with kids coming in, you have to set that expectation that there is a process. And to get better, you're probably going to have to be here 2 or 3 years.
And that's cool at certain schools. Uh-huh. But let's just say he'd gone to a school that's a winner. Yeah. Or that's on a downward spiral right now. They're looking for you to get this team back to the... Especially you coming off an NCAA run.
Yeah. And it may not be his makeup. His makeup may just be, you know, I like going through this process of developing kids and things of that nature.
He better stay in Chicago.
Yeah, he better stay in Chicago. But to your point with Jeff Capel, this is the most intriguing thing. He leads Duke as the top recruiter. Yeah. Right? The top... He was the lead recruiter. Marvin Bagley, Wendell Carter, Trayvon Duval, and Gary Trent.
See, and that's key.
And he was the lead recruiter for Brandon Ingram. And it was one more. But I think Shire got Jason Tatum. And he... And for this class coming in, he was the lead recruiter for Zion, RJ Barrett, and Cameron Reddish, the one who won the 3-point contest. So it's going to be interesting to see how does Coach K adjust now. Do you go back to
like Nick Saban had to when Kirby left?
Do you go back to picking two to three-year guys?
Yeah.
Because Capel was the lead recruiter in most of these, and they have already promoted Shire and Nate James to associate head coaches already. But I think he's the official next guy.
He is? Yeah. Nate moving up second tier?
Yeah, he's the next man.
I thought Shire was ahead of it.
No, but the thing was, rumor was Shire got the offer first for Pittsburgh.
Oh, he did.
He got allegedly. Now we can't confirm these, but allegedly he got the offer first.
He didn't want it.
But everyone thinks he's waiting on the Illinois job. So it's gonna be interesting to see which way that's gonna go, and then they're gonna hire another assistant, which. It could, Nolan Smith is a special assistant now, not an assistant coach. So we don't know if he's going to move up to that rank or now they calling, Jay Williams
come.
Yeah, the rumor is that they may reach out to Jay Williams and bring him to the sideline.
Keep it all in the family.
Like Hubert Davis did. So, so that's going to be interesting. And then, now Capel is recruiting against the Villanova guys because you're in the hotbed of Pennsylvania. So how does that affect Villanova, Temple, and those teams that's in that hotbed of recruiting for that area?
Right.
So that's going to be interesting to also see, is he's going to continue to do that? He was, when Coach K went out, he actually coached here at Georgia Tech. So I don't know if Shire or Nate James ready for those shoes.
That step up in there.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And then the other thing was they said Capel needed to get some more head coaching experience before he take over for K.
Well, like you said, barring some catastrophic incident, Coach K is going to be there for, until he decides to just roll over and call it quits.
Right. K, what, about 71?
71.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like I hate to use this reference, but the Joe Paterno of college basketball.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out. All right, let's move into some NBA talk. IT is having surgery again on his hip. And I want to pose this question. Did Boston... messes money up.
Yes. Without a doubt. without a doubt, and it's a bad situation, man.
And without
this,
a doubt,
this is what ties into the Kawhi Leonard thing. You know, you have to do what's right for you, and he didn't do what was right for himself. If he never plays another basketball game prior to after he got hurt, then people don't know. I mean, nothing. He didn't have a negative thing about him.
Right.
He still would have had a chance to get his money. And I would have played till I was 100%. And it's just that, you know, Boston.
So how does Boston responsible if he continues?
Well, Boston traded him. They got up off of him.
But
they used him up. Apparently, they didn't. They looked at the hip and he played through a bad hip. See, right. That's why they hurt him.
I got you.
Because they didn't tell him the right thing. And that's the same thing Kawhi is saying. Look, you telling me one thing, but something wrong with my hip, and I got a big payday coming. And see, IT should have done the same thing, saying, hey, I'm not right. I got to wait it out. I got to wait it out. Now, it might have hurt him because people said, I don't know if I want to give you money. You hurt. So it was catch 22.
Right.
But Boston had to do what was right for Boston, which is, you know, they made the move for Kyrie. You know, I understand why they did it, but yeah. He lost, but Windhorst said he probably lost about a 9-figure salary.
Yeah.
Wow.
And yeah. He'll never recoup it.
Never.
Nope.
Nah. Yeah, I think he'll fall into a trap of continually having to prove his worth every year. I mean, now he could have possibly been maybe, 15 to 20 million per year player, and now he's just a 10 to 12 million guy.
Yeah, 3 million a year, so.
Yeah.
I think the Lakers will probably give him a little contract next year. If they don't sign the two big free agents, they'll probably sign him back and have him coming off the bench again, you know, a space until the next free agent class after next year. So, but his value as far as getting that Brinks truck.
No.
Nah.
Yeah, it is.
His money can come FedEx now.
All right, man, we're going to take a quick 1-minute break. When we get back, we're going to continue on with this NBA talk. You listen to Sports Roundtable, SRT Crew, on srtradio.com and the Real 1100.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Real 1100 AM.
Tune your radio.
Tune in.
Now.
You can tune in to this radio station on any smartphone or tablet.
iPhone.
Android.
BlackBerry.
Nokia.
Samsung.
Windows phones.
Or whatever you have. Download the free TuneIn app from your phone or tablet's app store.
Tune in with music, sports, news, and comedy.
From over 70,000 radio stations around the world, including this Beasley Broadcast Group station. Check it out at TuneIn.com.
Or your app store.
What up, though? What up, though? It's your boy, Tate's Take. Of course, none other than Deshaun Tate. I go by the Sports Debate Slayer and the Bracket Master. Hey, SRT, man. It gets no realer than this right here at the Real 1100 AM. My boy, D. Will, the coach. G. Money, H.O., Hancock. Make sure you stay right here. Locked in. The Real 1100 AM. SRT keeping it real funky.
Us round table. We back at it. H.O. Hancock, the sixth man. G Money behind the glass, dropping them beats. We're talking NBA in the middle of our sports round table discussion. Got about 12 to 15 more minutes to go in the show. Thanks for tuning in to the hottest sports show on radio. Are you concerned about the Warriors? Steph is out. KD may be coming back in a couple of days. Draymond is out. Kerr says Steph will not play in the first round. Steph say he's going to
try to make him alive.
Yeah, that. Are you concerned about the Warriors?
I think you have to be kind of concerned at this point because you don't want to go into the playoffs without having some kind of momentum and cohesiveness, especially you don't know who you might be playing. Let's say if Oklahoma City falls back and you play them in the first round, then you got a problem because Russ is going to have his sights set on – he doesn't even have to win a title if he knocks Golden State out. You understand what I'm saying? So That's key. You have to watch who you're playing. I think they can get past pretty much anyone as long as if KD's okay, if Draymond's okay, and if Klay's okay. But to win consistently and be with no problem, they got to get Steph back. It just is what it is. With Steph on the floor, they win by an average of 15 points. With Steph off the floor, they win by an average of 2 points. And that's probably going down because they lost like 3 or 4 in a row.
Yeah, they're 5-5 in the last 10.
Right. So, but that's without some superstars. I think KD comes back tomorrow, I think, and probably Draymond.
Yeah.
And Klay is a little bit farther off. But they got to get some continuity going. I do like that they've got Lil Cook. He's playing a little better. So you've got a little more experience with him. You got somebody that at least can come in and make some shots.
Right.
Because his shot has been wet. You're getting a little bit of bench play. Some of the guys that were injured earlier are coming back. So we'll see. I just think they have to get some kind of run and a regular group of guys playing before the playoffs.
Right.
That's the thing. And then avoid Russ.
Exactly. Smooth, how you looking at that? Are you concerned about the Warriors?
Slightly, you have to be. Steph, he does mean that much to them. But they have enough talent, in my opinion, to still get to the Western Conference Finals. We forget Kevin Durant was an MVP a few seasons back. Klay Thompson, multiple-time All-Star. Draymond Green, another All-Star Defensive Player of the Year. Andre Iguodala, who's probably not the same player, but in the Eastern Conference with Philadelphia, was an All-Star. Swaggy P, inconsistent as he may be at times. I mean, he can still help out. Yeah, he can shoot it. Zaza Pachulia, JaVale McKee, these are guys who were on a championship team.
Livingston,
who could start for probably at least 10 teams in NBA. I think they have enough talent to get through the West. OKC could be a problem, but nobody else in the West scares me.
So
I don't, in my opinion, they don't have an excuse not to get to the Western Conference Finals.
Okay. All right, G, I'm going to start you out with Dilson Collins.
You didn't answer.
I'm concerned. I'm concerned because of the cohesiveness that, I mean, when you start the five out of the last 10, then you playing your first round game possibly without your best player.
But is he the best player? Or is
he is the he's the engine starter for that team. So I would say it like that. You know, without him, they've only averaging winning with, you know, by 2 points. With him in the game, he is the most effective player or the engine that stirs the drink for that team. I would just say it that way. Going into a second round and you haven't played with Steph in the first round.
But it's not uncharted territory because they've done this before.
Yeah, I agree.
That's the good thing.
But we don't know how bad the injury is.
Yeah, but you remember, it was the same. It was a knee injury before. Remember?
Yeah, I remember it was in
Houston.
Back. Yeah,
it was in Houston when he slipped and hurt it. Some, I think, what was a ligament. What was it? Meniscus.
MCL. Yeah,
sprained MCL. So it's basically. I think this is a grade. What did it say? Grade two.
Grade two. It was the same injury Kevin Durant had last year.
Yeah, but they said the difference was Kevin had a little bone damage in his last year. I heard that, and I didn't know that till it came out this week.
Exactly.
They kept that under wraps.
They go. I always keep that under wraps.
He had a little bone injury in there also, a little fracture.
All right, Jay, I'm going to ask you this one starting off. Has the Timberwolves underachieved this year?
Yes. But because of – it showed that Jimmy Butler made a huge difference with him being out there. Without him, you're basically back to what you were last year. And so they're at best an average team. That's why they fall into the eighth spot. You expect Wiggins. There were reports that Wiggins was upset about being the third option. Well, you're the second option now. Like, what's going on?
Right.
You know, while they have a lot of veteran leadership, they're already the rumbles of, okay, Tibbs is playing the starters too many minutes.
Yep.
You knew he was going to do that when he got there.
Right.
That's what he does. And because it worked before in Chicago. But getting him to try to trust the bench now, I don't know if that's gonna happen. But with these bench players, like, who's it going to be? You have Deng, Tyus Jones, Jamal Crawford. And so far tonight, they're playing the Hawks right now. Those are the only three guys who have come off the bench tonight.
Yeah, and they're probably the only
ones that are going to come off the bench.
Yeah, Hawks winning too much.
Yeah, they winning too much. And the only reason I'm asking, Han, is the Utah Jazz in the seventh spot, and Minnesota's in the eighth spot.
Right.
I mean, going into the season, we all thought, and we could have projected, Minnesota could have been three through five.
Right, but it's kind of hard to say, and G touched on in the beginning. Jimmy Butler is the key to this whole thing. If he was there, I think they'd be farther up. You might be looking at a four and challenging probably Portland for the third.
But when Jimmy Butler was there, you didn't get enough space or didn't win enough to—
What were they when he went out?
They were like fourth or fifth.
Yeah, see, they were up there. They weren't struggling to be in the playoff.
But. So this just says we gonna rescind Wiggins' max contract, basically.
Wow.
Go ahead, Smooth.
I hate to say it, but I'm just going to say it. Tom Thibodeau needs to be fired.
Wow. Ooh.
This guy, when he was an assistant at Boston and the head coach in Chicago, he built his reputation on him being a defensive genius or a defensive whiz.
Right.
But Minnesota Timberwolves, according to their defensive rating, they're 24th in the league. Only six teams are worse than them defensively. He's failed to maximize the talent that they do have. Cat, I think, is a Hall of Fame talent. Carl Anthony Towns. Andrew Wiggins, I think he could end up in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Jeff Teague, who's not an elite point guard in the NBA, but he is serviceable. Jamal Crawford might be over the hill, but you're not getting what he got.
Two players that you call these two places.
Yeah.
Boston. Yeah. KG.
Yeah.
In Chicago, you had the long hair boy.
Noah.
You had anchors that they called out defensive rotations. You don't have that in Minnesota. See, the teams that you talked about in the beginning, they stake their reputations on stopping people. That's not, you're trying to fit round pieces in square holes or square pieces in round holes. Either way, they don't fit. But you got more of a scoring team in Minnesota, and I don't think these kids, like you said, buy in. They don't buy into defense in Minnesota the way the other two. And I agree with you, that's Tibbs' calling card. But he don't have the right pieces to implement what he wants to do.
Taj Gibson ain't that guy, I guess not.
That's all I'm saying on that.
But that wasn't even his role in Chicago to come in and do the dirty work coming off the bench. But now here he has to start.
Right.
Because who's coming off the bench that can be effective for them?
Defense is a want to. You got to have a mentality to want to play it. And they don't have it.
But you just said it. If he's not able to get these guys to do that, so you know we need to.
To your point, you're right.
We need to move on from this guy, and I think Thibodeau, he's one of those stubborn coaches. It's either his way or no way, and obviously they don't like playing the way you want to play. So it's time to move on. I mean, we can be a coaching staff here.
But do you think that they're hungry enough that the organization can bypass, like, okay, we haven't made the playoffs since Kevin Garnett won MVP. That was the last time they made the playoffs. They're still in the playoffs right now. So do you think them making it would be enough to where, like, well, maybe we'll give them another chance, but we got to change the roster.
Not with that talent.
Jimmy coming back for the playoffs?
He's expected to. I haven't seen anything to where he's out for the rest of the season.
Yeah,
that was a big hurt for them not having him.
Yeah. Well, he brought that on himself with talking All-Star. You know how that went. But anyway, before we get up out of here, was Tony Parker out of bounds with his comment about how bad his groin was compared to Kawhi?
Yes.
Yes.
He was out of bounds, or was Pops out of bounds? Because Pops probably sent him
out then.
Yeah, I mean, somebody has to be the fall guy. Somebody got to be the fall guy. But this whole thing in San Antonio has gotten completely out of control. I was a believer that Kawhi wasn't going anywhere a few months ago, but now I think he's gone. Tony Parker, what, I mean, you're way over the hill. Why are you even talking?
It's been about the money with Kawhi since the beginning. And yeah, it started when his uncle took over the finance role.
Right.
Talking about, this is what we're going to do.
Well, he was only getting $10 million from Brian Jordan. Right.
And when his uncle said, all that Tim Duncan, that was fine with them. That was fine with Ginobili, and that was fine with Park, all of them taking that hometown discount. No, you are a finals MVP, arguably the best two-way player in the game. You're going to get paid. You're going to get compensated like it. Right. And that's what the whole thing boils down to. Everybody else want to keep blowing smoke, talking about this leg and all that. Now, he's going to make sure he's 100% because when it comes time for him to get his money, he wants to get all his money.
If you're the Hawks, do you do anything to try to get it?
Yes.
You need a player. You need a player of his caliber. Yeah, why not?
Whoever they want.
First round
pick.
As
long as his leg is right, yeah, go get it.
And pay him.
Yeah. Yes.
Gotta
already know the system.
Yeah.
He already knows the system. But the problem is, I think another thing I heard with Kawhi is that he's a little disgruntled with San Antonio because they don't draw big-time free agents. And that's going to be the same thing here. Atlanta does not draw big-time free agents. So if you trade for him or whatever, he might be disgruntled here because who's going to come to play with him? That's the point now that he's getting his money, though. That's another thing. But is Kawhi Leonard a drawing card for Atlanta?
I think so.
You think that brings people and puts butts in the seat?
Yes.
He's a star.
Yes.
But it's funny because we never hear a lot of this stuff coming from Kawhi himself.
He's very, very quiet.
Yeah, and that's what concerns me about Kawhi a lot of the times. And I know his uncle is a mouthpiece. He talks for him. But I think Kawhi, at some point, you got to step up and start to talk for himself. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Man, Kawhi Leonard in Atlanta. Wasn't Bud on the staff?
That's what I'm saying. He already knows the system.
He came from the Spurs.
Yeah.
I was thinking also like Philadelphia too, but I don't know. It might be a little too crowded there.
Yeah,
that's another Spurs.
Look at him. He's trying to
Memphis.
Bagley and Kawhi in Memphis. Boy, they got
Bagley and Kawhi here.
Yeah. Wow. All right, man, we got to get up out of here. He said that would be great. We got to get up out of here, man. Thanks to all the Facebook folks looking on. Thanks for all of our loyal tenants for listening in each and every week. Shout out to everybody who continues to support and listen to SRT crew. They say Zion went out with a thumb injury, dislocated thumb. So, all right, Han, you got any shout out real quick?
Shout out to my wife. We just celebrated an anniversary. Love you, baby.
There it
Thanks
is.
For taking care of your boy. I don't know what I'd do without you.
There it is. All right, G.
Shout out to my mom and dad. I will see y'all on Easter Sunday.
Hey, Smooth.
Yeah, shout out to all the tenants. Happy Easter. It's coming up for those of you who do celebrate Easter. But thanks, guys, for having me on the show again. It's always fun.
Always.
Always fun. But that's it for me.
Hey. And for all those Minnesota and Chicago fans, that was Jay Smooth said, 5-2. It wasn't me. But he got a point. All right, man. As you already know, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it because it's the hottest show going today. All right, Han, let's roll.
Boogie, I'm headed home, baby.
Smooth.
This your main man, H.O. from Bankhead. R.I.P. Moms, R.I.P. B.C. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
And if you didn't,
Sister Jean, let me get them lottery numbers.
And we out. Peace.